kick your ass. I could jack your jaw. Put you flat in the dirt, boy. Yeah, I'd have a ball. So go ahead and act tough, like your John Wayne son. But things can change fast.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can.
Shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me.
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times? Tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me.
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat-seeking shotgun.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in.
Uh-oh. Here he comes again. Here's Cope with the shooting bench.
I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. Cause cowboy, we're both packing guns.
You know what's good for you. Stay tuned for 100% Gun Talk, coming up right now.
44 spoke, and he said letting smoke. 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather. Beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the all gun-related. Of course, that may vary just a little bit tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But anyway, the shooting bench, it is the 11th of December, and Jason and I are tucked away, hiding in a little cubbyhole in Caldwell, Idaho, trying to sneak through here without making too much to do here. I didn't tell you what they told me down at Walgreens a while ago, did I? You know, I went into Walgreens to get some stuff, and there's two gals back there, and of course I was wearing my gun, as I always do. And she said, "Well, how do you like it here?" And I said, "Oh, it's fine, but I don't live here. We're just traveling through." She said, "Where are you from?" And I told her, and she said, "Well, I figured it was someplace like that, you carrying a gun." So that's pretty much what everybody does around here. And I said, "Yeah, we thought we'd go ahead and cut our trip a little short tonight and stay here instead of going on into Oregon. We had a little extra time. We could have made it on into Oregon." And she said, "Oh, yeah, we treat carriers a whole lot better here than they do over there. I'm glad you stopped." But yeah, Oregon's not a friendly state. That's why I told Jason we'd go ahead and make it on into Oregon tonight. And then I got to thinking, I said, "Well, you know, another 30 minutes or an hour is not really going to make the difference in the overall scheme of things tomorrow. So we'll go ahead and stay here and spend our last night and before we go into occupied territory. So we'll try to sneak through there tomorrow if we possibly can." Let's see. There's... Oh, guys, you know, I need to tell all of you. I see we're having a little bit of sound problems. This is a very, very weak signal here. So I don't know if all of you are having sound problems or just some of you. But this motel has very weak Wi-Fi. And I don't know how well it's gonna get through here. So let me know if it gets too bad. We'll just cut it off. But I see at least two of you, three of you, they're having problems. So... let me know what it sounds good. Doc says it sounds good down there, so if it sounds good anywhere, it should sound good everywhere. So you guys may need to refresh or do whatever. So. All right, let's see. Jason's not on the chat because he didn't bring a computer. He's on his phone. Can you get on the chat on your phone?
Maybe.
He's going to try to get on the chat here. I asked him if he wanted to get on the show and talk with me. He's not too sure about that. He said he doesn't have a face for radio, so we'll have to keep nagging at him here and see what we can do. We got kind of a different direction to go here tonight. Jason dug up a deal today. We've been talking about it a little bit. And it's 10 right-wing companies that every progressive should boycott. And I got to looking down through these deals here, and you know, these people are sick. They're just retarded. There's something wrong with them. First one, of course, Chick-fil-A, and they're talking on here as if they're talking to other progressives. So I'm not saying this because it's my thoughts. It's what they're saying. It says this one, likely no surprise to you because their anti-gay stance has been in the news quite a bit over the past couple of years. But not only are they completely against gay marriage, they're also huge donors to extreme right-wing candidates and causes. Okay, looking at it from our point of view, we boycott places that are huge donors to left-wing candidates and causes. So we looked at somebody saying we found out just recently, we didn't know this until Jason may have found out a few days ago, but I just found out today that Waffle House has an anti-gun policy. And that's exceedingly disappointing to me. Because Waffle, now that's one place where I will not compromise. I'll compromise a little bit, like Home Depot. If I've got something that Lowe's doesn't have that I absolutely have to have, I'll compromise just a little bit once in a while. You know, Subway, yeah, I try to stay out of there. I've boycotted them, you know, pretty much 100% ever since they made the announcement that they're in bed with Michelle Obama. I've only been twice, and that's been, what, a year ago or so? And, you know, things like that. But when it comes to the gun thing, it's no compromise. I will not go, period. I will not go. I don't care how good the prices are. I don't care how good, nothing. It doesn't matter. Costco, and now Waffle House. I love Waffle House. Waffle House is the greatest place to eat that was pretty much ever invented. But, you know, it's done. I didn't learn of this. I ought to check before I go in any restaurant or go anywhere or do anything and check and see. But once I find out, however I find out, that's the end of it. I don't go there anymore. The rights at risk, we'll try to, I'm sure, sorry, I have to apologize publicly to Rights at Risk. I told her we were going to make it up there and visit, and was all excited about it, and because normally I would go up right up US 191, and we would go through there and visit with her a little bit, and didn't dawn on me until I pulled over there to pick Jason up, and I said, oh hell, we're not even going to go through Utah, period, much less around her neck of the woods. So I got to apologize for not making it up there, but we will make it again here soon. Hope maybe Jason will be with me. Maybe we'll come up here and maybe we'll come up here and teach a class somewhere, and I can bring Jason with me, and we'll let you meet him. But Hopper, you know what? I know that it's difficult for some people that have, you know, may not have a Sam's Club or have other things around, but I'll tell you, and that's, you know, everybody's got to do their own thing however they feel about it. But me, when it comes to the gun thing, doesn't matter. I don't care how low the prices are. I don't care if it's the only one around. I don't care if I have to drive 100 miles to go around it. I will not go. And it's not about taking your chances, Hopper. It's not about getting caught. It's about giving your money to someone that doesn't support your constitutional rights. Anybody can conceal and go in there and get away with it, and everybody thinks that we've pulled one over on them. They're pulling one over on us, because every penny you spend in there, you're donating to a company that does not support your constitutional rights. So you're not getting over on them by carrying in there concealed. Ha ha, I got carried and concealed. I got away with it. But What it really means is they're telling you, well, you may have, but we got your money anyway. So that's why I don't go in there. We don't compromise on that one little bit. Let's see, my sound like the sound is, let me check here and see. Looks like we're still going good. So, is anybody else having a problem out there? Hopper says he's having a little problem. So, all right, let's get back to our 10 right-wing companies here. Hobby Lobby's the next one, of course. Hobby Lobby is not only against a woman's right to choose, but they're also against birth control. And it talks about Obamacare and whatnot. Carl's Jr. Carl's Jr. has been notorious for objectifying women in most of their highly sexual and controversial ads, but they've also been huge supporters of extreme anti-abortion causes. And if that's not enough to avoid this fast food restaurant, they're also totally against gay rights. As a matter of fact, gay rights groups actually started calling the food bigot burgers after the company's founder, Carl Karcher, who came out in support of a 1978 proposition that would have allowed school boards to fire any teacher for being gay or for advocating homosexuality. In addition, Carl's Jr. is also a big-time donor for conservative super PACs and Republican Party. So there you go. Carl's Jr. is a place to eat. That's where to go. Walmart, they said. For the past several years, Walmart has consistently gotten into trouble for controversial practices. It is widely known that they pay their employees extremely low wages and are totally against any sort of raising of the national minimum wage. They're also famous for being anti-women. Many of their female employees have continually spoken out about widespread discrimination. In 2011, okay, I don't care about all that. Talking about lawsuits against their women and all that. Marriott Hotels. Let's see. Now they just talk about what they donate to conservative stuff. Waffle House. Another restaurant run by extreme conservatives who are major donors to the right-wing causes and candidates. As a matter of fact, 100% of all their donations went directly to conservatives. Well, why wouldn't they? Why would you donate to both sides? That was kind of a stupid statement, wasn't it, Jason? All of their donations, 100% went to conservatives. Well, I would expect 100% of liberal donations to go to liberals, too. I mean, that just kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? Jeez. So, unfortunately, Waffle House is off the list for us because of their anti-gun policy. Very sad indeed. Angel Soft, Brawny, and Dixie. Angel Soft toilet paper, Brawny paper towels, and Dixie cups are all subsidiaries of the Koch Industries, headed by the Koch brothers, and they donate millions of dollars every year to groups like the NRA, the National Right to Life Committee, and okay, that's okay. Exxon Mobil, long history of fighting against the LGBT community. Okay, I'll get your gas from Exxon. What's there? Cracker Barrel. Yet another company who's had a long history of racist and anti-gay practices. They have been known to fire employees who did not appropriately display heterosexual behaviors. In 2004, the U.S. Justice Department declared that the restaurant had discriminated against both employees and diners based on the color of their skin or sexual orientation. Urban Outfitters, well-known reputation for being both anti-women and anti-gay. 2008, the company's president and founder, Richard Haney, decided to back one of the presidential nominees, and of all the choices out there, he felt the most aligned with the homophobic Rick Santorum. And in addition, this company is a major donor to extreme conservative causes and candidates. Okay, Urban Outfitters, another good company to do business with. Didn't you say Rick Santorum was running for president? Yep. It looks like Rick Santorum is going to throw his hat in the ring here in 2016. That'll be interesting to see what goes on with that. All right, let me look over here and see what kind of, see if we're having any problem. Okay, looks like the sound's holding in there fairly well. Okay, let's look here. Now, along with Waffle House's anti-gun policy, here we have, down in Atlanta, Atlanta is where I was introduced to Waffle House. I'd never seen one before I got down there. Officers were told a black male walked into Waffle House with a gun in hand and demanded money. At some point, the customer took action by shooting the robbery suspect. Suspect was transported to Grady Memorial Hospital, and he's being treated. The title of this is Waffle House Customer Ignores Company Policy on Guns and Stops Criminal. Waffle House corporate policy is to ban firearms from all Waffle House locations. The company says this decision is based on legal matters that result from allowing armed customers. That is a lie. There are no legal matters that allow this. That is strictly liability concerns or PC concerns, one or the other. It has nothing to do with legal anything. If it's legal in a state, it's legal. If it's not legal in a state, it's not legal. You go by what state law says, and you'll be fine. It's only because the armed citizen that this gun-waving criminal was stopped and the other people in the restaurant were spared potential harm. Authorities say a customer at Waffle House outside Atlanta shot and wounded a suspect who was trying to rob the restaurant. Anyway, apparently the guy did not get in trouble, according to this story. That's good. There are no other injuries except for the bad guy. We don't know his status. But anyway, this was an old story anyway. I just dug it up here. It's not that old. It's a year old, I guess. But I just dug it up because of this new thing on Waffle House that I found out that really disturbs me. Anyway, hang on just a second here. Let me get with you here this minute. Let's see here. Sorry about that.
Yeah. see over the fallen sands. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives. I pray God's grace will keep you safe from harm till it brings you boys back home. Till it brings you boys back home. Till it brings you boys back home.
All right, we're back. I see where Chucker put in there that Cracker Barrel is to be boycotted. It doesn't allow gun owners in. I don't know what their policy is. That's not the experience that I've had. We went down to, where was it, Prescott, I think? Prescott Valley, somewhere down in there? Prescott, I believe. And there's Cracker Barrel down there, and two of us went in there. Three of us went in. This was probably 2 years ago. No, it was probably 4 years ago. So either they didn't know or things have changed. I don't know if what their policy is officially, but nevertheless, it doesn't matter. If that is a fact, then I will forevermore not be going into Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel is okay. I'm not crazy about it, but it's all right. It's not a bad place to eat. Anyway, but I will look into that and see if we can find something official on that, and we will definitely add them to the list if that's the case. I don't know if you guys saw the deal on Breitbart here. Pierce Morgan crawfishing now. Unbelievable. After all the stuff that he went through, he had how many chances to tone it down, change his mind, be civil, but he turned to be a jerk the whole time this was going on with Alex Jones and Ted Nugent and everybody else. Now he's saying he admitted that he'd been a little too aggressive in pursuing gun control. Told Megyn Kelly he does not regret supporting gun control, but wishes he had done so in a way that would have opened the door to a two-way conversation. Now, being a liberal, would think that he would know that there is no such thing as having a two-way conversation with a liberal. Now that it's all done, he wants to go back and say, "Hell, wow, wait, this really didn't turn out the way I'd planned for it." So he said, I became too aggressive. I think I didn't listen to the other side as much as I should have. That's what liberals do. We fully expected that. He said, I think there's a culture of gun ownership in America which I didn't afford enough respect to. Now, does that sound like Pierce Morgan to you? No. Short answer? No, it don't. He said that if he had the chance again, you won't. It would be a much more two-way conversation I would have with people to try to understand why America has an obsession with guns, as many people see it, and how you get to a place where there is more safety involved in guns than perhaps there is now. Well, I'm telling you, we don't have an obsession with guns. We have an obsession with freedom. We have an obsession with our constitutional rights. That's the... doesn't have anything to do with guns itself, although those guns are what is, Peanut Rider. Welcome, by the way. I don't see you in here too often. I'm glad you made it in here. But the fact is those guns help us protect that freedom, but it is the freedom itself and the rights that we hold dear that we're having an obsession with, which is exactly why Jason and I are in Caldwell, Idaho right now, because we're going to a rally up there that has been put together by Gavin Syme, and it is solely for the protection of our rights. It's not just a gun thing, and it's not just a Washington thing. If it was just a Washington thing, I wouldn't be here. But you know, Nevada is trying to do the same thing. Jason says there's somebody's tossed word around there that Arizona's trying to do that. So I haven't seen that yet, but nevertheless, if they are, then we'll have to fight it there too. But this transfer deal is gotten completely out of hand. When you can't transfer a nail gun or a Hilti gun to someone, you can't change hands with it without going through a dealer, something is terribly wrong. Those people may not know this, but some of those nail guns and stuff don't have serial numbers of any kind on them. They might be a little hard to track. But, of course, a lot of guns don't either as far as that goes. Back, if they were made prior to 1968, some of them don't have serial numbers. But anyway, but we've got this whole thing is going to be very interesting up there. There's all the transfers that are planning to be made. It's going to be interesting to see what law enforcement intends to do with, the possibility of 6,000 people being there and all committing, or I don't know that all of them will, but there'll be a great many of us up there that will be committing felonies back and forth. And it's a felony for you to hand your buddy your rifle. Here, hold this. I got to go over here and get something out of the truck. Just hold my shotgun for me and I'll be right back. You just committed a felony, both of you. According to the way this thing is worded, it's the most absurd, ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life. But that's the way it's going to be. So what I'm wondering is if this is going to, what I kind of had in the back of my mind, if they were just to spite Gavin and the people that are coming up here in the name of freedom, if they would have put out a little amendment or something to ease off on that a little bit, not because we forced them into it with the numbers that show up here, but because they want to bite him and think that the take all the teeth out of the rally. But this is already, what is it, today's Thursday, so I don't expect that's going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see what does happen throughout the time that we're there, though. But anyway, as soon as that's done, then we'll be headed up to Yakima, Washington, for the Personal Defense Handgun 2 class, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be on private property. And trouble is, it just may not be as fun as we wanted it to be. But as Jason says, if it's raining, we're training. But what looks like right now, the weather has changed, the pattern has changed slightly so that Saturday is safe. So whatever happens to the class happens. I hope the rally is clear and at least partly sunny, and it goes off without a hitch. The better the weather is, the more people that show up, the better we get our point across. Had some guy on Facebook saying, this rally is for us. We're stroking each other here, trying to, get everybody's courage up and all. That's not the case at all. It does help with our own motivation and morale and stuff a little bit to see all these people, but that's not it. When people see, another one said, if you're going to do this, it should be on a work day when there's people at the Capitol. Well, that's probably true, but there wouldn't be 6,000 people committed to come if it had been on a work day, probably. They've gotten to a point now where it's so difficult to take a day off because of all the taxes and everything else that you have to pay. Missing a day of work for a lot of people is a monumental thing. It's just not something that can happen. We're not quite to the point where people say, I don't care. Whatever, we're going to miss work anyway. I mean, some of us will. I do. And probably to a fault, to my own detriment, I do. But I sure don't expect everybody to at this point. It's just, it's too difficult for people to survive as it is with, like I said, wages and lawsuits and all this kind of stuff. We've got a listener in the chat room right now that is going through this with the, well, no, it looks like he left the chat room. We must have been having sound problems. But anyways, going through this lawsuit thing. And it's quite likely going to bankrupt him and put him out of business. So when things like that happen, missing one day of work is a huge thing. And it's a sacrifice that not everybody can make, because then it affects your family and everything else. And
do you have Skype on?
I do what?
Do you have Skype on?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the Arizona
screen
here.
Okay. Yeah, Jason just got some news for us here. I'll, you know, relay it to you just as soon as it comes in here. Looks like we're losing people because of sound problems, so we may cut this a little bit short. Let's see what... of course, the archive will come out okay. The podcast will be all right. Here we go. Stand by. We got breaking news. Come on. Let's go. Coming up here. Arizona targeted for gun owner registration. With little likelihood of anti-rights firearm legislation passing at the federal level anytime soon, the attack on our rights and freedoms have shifted to the state level. It was led by Bloomberg. Okay, we know that. Their primary focus is on states like Arizona that have a mechanism that allows petition gathering to get measures on the ballot, bypassing the legislative process. Their strategy is simple but effective. Spend millions on a ballot measure that requires all firearm transfers, retail and private, to undergo a background check, with that information saved in state databases. So there you go. There, it looks like they are trying. That may be as far as it's. There's nothing happening to it just yet, but they are working on it. The state purpose. Let's see. The stated purpose of these measures is to prevent criminals from acquiring firearms. Right. In reality, these laws have minimal, if any, effect on criminals. Let's see. November 4th, Bloomberg's anti-rights cartel scored a victory in the state of Washington, where a gun owner registration ballot measure, I-594, passed easily. That's the one we're going to protest there. All private firearms transfers in the state must undergo a background check, with that information stored in state databases. Transfer under the new law is so broadly defined that letting a friend examine your gun can be a criminal act. Bloomberg and other like-minded billionaires poured over $10 million into the passage of I-594. Unbelievable. In Washington, gun owners groups attempted to counter I-594 with a background check light ballot initiative, I-591. Their hope that was both initiatives would pass and require the courts to sort it out. If I-591 was defeated by the voters, okay, we know about all that. The Arizona Citizens Defense League has no intention of proposing or supporting anything similar in Arizona. That's good. Same thing pending in Arizona, challenged in Oregon. Arizona has constitutional carry that has twice been declared by Guns and Ammo magazine as the best state for gun owners. So that's what we got going on in Arizona right now. So what has happened here since this happened in Washington is just exactly what I told everybody. It's not just a Washington issue. It's going to affect, if it passes, which it did. It's passed and been put into effect and is law in the state of Washington. And there's not a reason in the world that there's not other states that's going to attempt and pass the same thing. Now, I tell you, if this isn't material that would start a cotton picking war, I don't know what would. It's I'm still waiting to see just how far Americans are going to be pushed. Jason, what was we talking about today when I said something about the cops not coming home? Remember what that was? There was something we were talking about that the police were doing. It was a thing that passed in Illinois. Did you see that? In Illinois. Surely you guys have seen this already. But it has passed the House. It's not law yet, but it is on the governor's desk, and I have no reason to believe that he won't sign it, making it illegal to record anything that has to do with cops, attorneys, attorney general, sheriffs, anything like that. So if you're, traffic stops or any confrontation on the street or anything, it will be a felony for you to exercise your First Amendment rights. It will be a felony for you to record and use that information to protect yourself or others. A felony. And I told Jason, you know what? They're pushing this thing awfully hard. There's going to come a time when some of these cops may not make it home at night after a shift. And I think that there will be people at some point, like they wished they would have done in Warsaw when the same type of thing was going on there. And at some point they may be how do you word that? Well, there's no other way to put it. They just won't be coming home at night. And when that starts happening, then it's going to unleash a huge backlash, I guess, all over the country. So, be interesting to see how that happens there. Mountain shooter, yeah. Isn't Bloomberg the kind of tyrant we should be gunning for? Yeah, bad choice of words. Yeah, I know what you mean. Northwest Heavy's joined us there. Northwest Heavy, you know, I don't know if 6,000 people showing up. Of course, all of those people won't show up because a lot of them were just saying that they would on Facebook just to show their support and had no intention of actually showing up at the rally. But out of 6,000 that said they would, you know, I'd like to think that at least 1,000, 1,500 or so would actually make it. And with that kind of support, would the people, the powers that be in Washington, would they say, well, it looks like we made a mistake, we better change that law? How do they go about that? I don't know what good will come of this, other than making people aware of it, and letting people know that we're through being run over, we're through being swept under the rug and ignored and treated like animals, and we're planning on taking our rights back, keeping our rights. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, and Jason and I are very excited and grateful to be a part of this, making history again. So this has been our little escapade with Bundy Ranch was another good history maker. Had a lot of fun doing that too, and that's not over yet. We're still going to be repercussions from that. There's this big land grab going on. We were looking today in the state of Nevada. Well, we're not in Nevada anymore. We're in Idaho. But in Nevada, we were looking at almost 90% of Nevada is BLM land, Bureau of Land Management. 90% of the whole state. You know how big Nevada is? Pretty. It's a pretty good-sized state. and very sparsely populated. You take Las Vegas and Reno out of Nevada, and there wouldn't be but about 85 people left in the state. But BLM runs pretty much all of it. 90% of the entire state is under BLM rule, which I think is horse crap. Unbelievable. So, anyway. Now, when you get out to... you get out east of the Mississippi, there are very, very few states that have any BLM presence at all. There's a little bit out there, but very little. And you get on this side of the Mississippi, once you get into, not quite so much in Texas, a little bit in Oklahoma, the farther you come this way, the more BLM and their jackbooted thugs have control over the land. And I mean complete control. They're stopping the people, the whole thing about taking pictures and whatever, the hiking, the bike trails, the minnows and the birds, and is everything. They're trying to keep people out of this land, doing everything that they can. They're stopping any recreational shooting in some places. I mean, just target shooting, just going out and shooting at, even if you clean up your mess. Out shooting at boulders in a canyon out there somewhere. They're just trying to stop you from coming out, period. And it's just gotten completely, completely out of hand. And I don't know what, if anything, is going to come of it, or what, if anything, the American people will do about it so far. Other than the Bundy Ranch thing, not a whole lot. I'm hoping that will change. I'm hoping this rally of in Washington will help to motivate people, maybe help to educate people in their rights a little bit. But it's yet to be seen. I'm anxious to see what happens. Okay, let's see. Northwest, we got quite a few listeners from the shooting bench are going to be there. Northwest Heavy is going to be there. His Aviator is going to be there. Norprey is going to be there. Who else? There were some other ones I was talking about today. Oh, heck. What is it? Dadgummit. Tundra Boar was going to try to make it over there. But I think, no, he's not either. He was going to make it, but he's down. They had a brand new baby, grandbaby they had to go and welcome into the world. So they're not making it. They're definitely excused. But there's also some, probably a dozen or more of my Facebook friends that I've never met that are going to be there. So it's going to be old home week for us there for a little while. It's going to be a lot of fun. And... the Tinker, you know, I would expect your first number there. I hope that's nowhere as near right. 600 to 800 people. I mean, that's a decent showing, I guess, but not when 6,000 people. Your second post there, 6,000 to 8,000. That would be so awesome. I don't know if I told you guys already, but Sheriff Mack is supposed to be there. Mike Vanderbo is supposed to be there. Cope Reynolds is supposed to be there. And who else? There's another national speaker is supposed to be there, I think. But I don't think Stuart Rhodes was going to make it. The weather so far, writes, has been a little windy. When we stopped, we got up to Wells, Nevada. But other than that, it's not going to be too bad. It hasn't been too bad so far. But let me check here real quick. Give you a quick report on what things are looking like in Olympia. Hang on just a second. We'll let you know how the weather's going to look. It has been quit.
I didn't do it.
Okay. I was really worried about this when I first looked at it a few days ago, a week or so ago, and I said, oh, great, it's going to rain on Saturday. But now there's a slight chance of rain on Friday. It's supposed to be partly sunny both Saturday and Sunday, so the rally should be safe. Not a chance of rain again until Monday. It looks like a pretty decent chance on Monday. So the second half of our class might get a little wet, but it's not a biggie. We can handle that. Yeah, we're tough. If it ain't raining, I mean, if it's raining, we're training, Jason said. All right. Okay. Well, anyway, we're been behind the wheel all day. I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts together, so I'm going to sneak out of here a few minutes early before I make a complete fool out of myself here. I'm glad we're able to make it in tonight. We will, I think I'm going to try really hard to have a live show tomorrow night. If not, I will have a good, I'll pick out a good Liberty Lounge archive for you. And I don't know how many we got people to meet. A lot of stuff going on tomorrow, so there's a possibility I won't make it live, but you will have Liberty Lounge one way or another. And Monday night, Monday night's still up in the air. I'll have to let you know. We'll see what we're doing for traveling purposes. We've got to get back on Tuesday. Let me look at the calendar here. Tuesday. No, actually, I have to be back Wednesday. Okay, I think we can make that. Okay, well, I'm going to sneak out of here. I'm having a hard time keeping my head together. So I will see you guys again, hopefully tomorrow night, and we'll continue on.
A gun will travel, reach the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
Actually, that's 1 hour. I got a 10 for you.
There are campfire legends that the flames men spin of the man.